Our text for this morning's meditation is Matthew 25. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Matthew 25:13. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the meaning of our text for this morning is quite simple, really. Quite simple. In that we don't know the day nor the hour of our Savior's return, we should always, and I mean always, be ready for His return. Be ready for Him to return. Now, why is it? Why is it that Christ is returning to earth on the last day visibly? Why? Well, He created it. He created the earth. It is His. And through His suffering and death on the cross, Christ has redeemed it. He's redeemed it from decay, decay due to sin. And on the last day, Christ will return to the earth and recreate it. He'll make all things new. A new heaven, a new earth. So Christ, as the King of creation itself, is returning on the last day to reclaim visibly what belongs to Him. The question then is, who will be ready? Who will be ready to be part of His kingdom and live forever with Him in joy and in wonder? And how is it exactly? How is it that we can remain ready, ready for the return of Christ, ready to be ushered into that new heaven and that new earth ourselves, along with our King Jesus? Well, we remain ready by always having oil in our lamps, or in other words, faith in our hearts. When the Son of Man comes, Jesus asked His disciples, as we read in the Gospel of Luke, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Now that's a profound, even a poignant question, isn't it? Because hearing that our preparation for the return of Christ has to do with faith in our hearts, it's easy for us to say, oh good, I don't have to worry about that. I have faith. I have faith in Jesus as my Savior. And certainly if our life is that of what we heard in the epistle reading, there should be no worry involved when we think about the return of Christ on the last day. For there we heard, since we belong to the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Now, the words awake and asleep there refer to whether or not we are alive when Christ returns or already have died, our bodies returned to dust and our souls already united visibly with Christ in heaven. But returning to faith in Christ as our preparation for the return of Christ on the last day, that faith along with love is described as our breastplate, that is our body armor in these last days, so that we can live from day to day to day with the hope, yes, the hope that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will return soon. But of course, even living in faith and love, there is the danger that we can be lulled into a life of embracing the now, enjoying the creation, the old creation, the dying and decaying creation as it is laid out before us, comforted by the apparent fact that Christ is not going to return any time in the near future. So we can simply relax, enjoy our lives in the now. Why do we think that way? Why do we think that way? Well, it really is hard to grasp where we are in human history, isn't it? I mean, most of us are not historians in any way, shape, or form, so history for us is simply the past. And ancient history is the distant past. And the future, well, the future, it's Star Trek, Star Wars, or some sort of apocalyptic scenario we've seen on television. And then there's science, which tells us that the earth is now not a few thousand years old, as Scripture teaches, but 4.6 billion years old. And if the earth is that old, well, it seems like earth is going to be around for millions, if not billions, of years to come, whether or not there are many more people to populate it. And who really knows what a billion is? Let alone a million. The number 100,000 challenges us, as does even 1,000. So yes, where are we in the continuum of world history? Where are we? It's hard for us to grasp for any number of these reasons. So when we hear we are to watch, therefore, for we know neither the day nor the hour of the return of Christ, we can respond to such a declaration in the same way as we do to a publisher's clearinghouse giveaway announcement in our mailbox. Sure, there must be something to it. But chances are it has nothing to do with me. In view of our text, sure, Christ is coming back to earth sometime, but probably not in my lifetime. So what's the point of living soberly? That is, of living daily in faith and love, looking forward in hope to my salvation. So perhaps a bit of startling news. News that came out just this past week can help us here. News of the 8 billionth person born on the planet. 8 billionth! 8 billion people living on the earth right now. Again, who knows what a billion is? It's 1,000 million. And in that we cannot grasp such a number, we can simply shrug our shoulders and go on with life. 8 billion, so what? Sobering, however, is the fact that just a little over 100 years ago, a number more easily understood, just over 100 years ago, there were just 2 billion people on the planet. That means that over the lifetime of many people in this room, the population of the earth has quadrupled. Quadrupled. Increased 4 times over. Now, that's a number we can understand. That is a number which can cause us to pause and think. The world is different. The world has changed. And it has changed rather quickly over just the last 100 years. And that being so, just how quickly will it continue to change? So from a very practical standpoint, then, it could just be that the return of Christ is right around the corner. But there's still, Pastor, so much I want to do. There's still so much I want to do can be our response, especially if we're young. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, I want to live in faith daily and in love. Yes, I look forward in hope to my eternal life in Him. But I want to finish high school. I want to play more hockey or football or basketball. Soccer. Want to finish college. Want to get a job. I want to get married. Have a family. Want to travel. Want to see the world. I want to see my children grow up. I want to see my grandchildren grow up. There's so much I want to do, Pastor. You know, I visit a retired professor about once a month, a professor who's 93, And he's still writing and reading and thinking and communicating with people all over the world. During our visits, it has become quite common for him to say to me lately, "If only I could live another 10 years. If only I could live another 10 years." Even in his 90s, he has so much he wishes he could still do. Be that as it may, we have to set such thoughts aside, such longings, such desires, such clingings to the world in which the world, the dying, the decaying world in its life, eclipses in our hearts our Savior and his life. So that's what's happened to so many, isn't it? For so many who has been baptized into Christ and taught Christ and learned how to live in Christ have run after the world and all that it has to offer, thinking ultimately that Christ is never going to return. If our hearts are set on this world and not on Christ in faith, that's what's going to happen to us as well. We'll become like those in the epistle reading saying, "There's peace and security." Or like the foolish virgins in the gospel reading who by the time the bridegroom had arrived were out of oil. Why? Their own lives in the here and now were more important than their preparation for the return of the bridegroom. "But if I live that way, Pastor," so you might be thinking at this point, if I live my life in faith and love, waiting daily for the return of Jesus, I'll never do anything. I'll never accomplish anything. I'll never experience anything. Really? Really? It's not what our Savior taught us. What Jesus taught us is that if we seek his kingdom first, that is, live daily in faith in him, knowing our sins are forgiven, freely forgiving the sins of those around us, if we live daily seeking the kingdom of God, all the things that we need, and many of the things that we want in this life, we will indeed receive. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? And all of these things will be added unto us. Here we can think of highly successful figures in Scripture, successful according to the worldly standards, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Joseph. Joseph here is perhaps the best example for us. Joseph, who even though he was sold into slavery by his brothers and unjustly imprisoned, Joseph was used by God to save Egypt, the entire kingdom, the entire nation from famine, and was justly glorified in that nation on earth for that. The thing is that Joseph did not know from one moment to the next what was going to happen to him. I mean, think of that. You're sold into slavery by your brothers and then you're tossed into prison when everything's going well again. But Joseph did know that he had to live by faith daily in the promises that God had made to his great-grandfather, and then to his grandfather, and then to his father. And Joseph did. We're living, so it would seem, in tumultuous times. You know, who knows what tomorrow will bring, the next newscast, the next email, text, or tweet. Even if there's going to be tweets next week. Like we learned by studying the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis, there's so much in life over which we have no control. But we haven't been tasked by our Savior with controlling life. We have been instructed to live from day to day to day, waiting in faith for his return on the last day, which could happen at any moment. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that people wait in different ways. They wait in different ways. There are those people who, while waiting, keep themselves busy, so busy it seems almost to the point of distraction. Are they busying themselves so as they don't really have to wait? I don't know. And then there are those, of course, who, if they have to wait for something, they really can't do anything but wait. Their life grinds to a halt. They do nothing. Why? They're waiting. Waiting for news. Waiting for a letter. Waiting for a phone call. Waiting for a text. Only after which they then can do something again. Well, as we are waiting for the return of Christ on the last day, neither way of waiting seems to be just right. We can't live our lives busying ourselves so much that the return of Christ we banish completely from our minds. Nor can we await the return of Christ by simply waiting and watching and waiting and watching, doing nothing from day to day to day with the gifts and talents God has given to us to express our love for our neighbor and our service to him. Another way. Christ is returning. So we live daily in faith, expressing love, looking forward in hope to that moment. It's as simple as that. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.